coming up, we have Area Voices, and we're going to hear some writing about the solar eclipse from one of our listeners. And also, Katie, you're putting yourself out there with a poem.
Totally putting myself out there.
You look distressed.
Well, it's exposed. I feel exposed. And it's a bit of a rough draft, but I'm still going to share it because the solar eclipse was a big deal. And it took over the country. And I just tried to jot down a couple things about it so I could remember that day. Area Voices tells the arts, the culture, and the history stories of northern Minnesota. And on Monday, we had a big event across the whole country, and it impacted lots of people in our listening area. Now, the solar eclipse was a planetary and cultural phenomenon that many people took great interest in. And in fact, if you go to our KAXC Season Watch page, you can see some great images from people who traveled long distances to see the solar eclipse. So I would encourage people to check that out. And on the Season Watch page, actually, Tom, who just sent us an email about cucumber wine, posted a story, and I wasn't able to open it. And so I sent him an email asking if I could read his story about the solar eclipse. And he sent it along my way. And it's called, this is from Tom Saulwasser, and it's called his Reamer Eclipse Story. The Great American Eclipse of 2017, as seen near Reamer. I was sleeping fitfully, going over in my mind how to best complete a carpentry project I'm struggling with. About 1:30 a.m., I had to get up and walk down the hall. On the way back to bed, I noticed it was pitch black outside. I stepped out into the inky darkness. There was no moon, so the sky was full of stars. It was incredibly beautiful. This would probably be all I would see of the Great American Eclipse of 2017. I recently learned that eclipses only happen during the new moon. The science and mechanics of the universe are still a mystery to me. I must have finally drifted off to sleep. At 6:30, I got up to make some coffee. As the weather forecast predicted, the skies were gray and heavy, and they would be all day. I'd prepared some viewing tools to safely watch the eclipse, but now my worries were over. I would not have to risk eye damage today with my binoculars, handheld viewing card, and store-bought cardboard glasses. All used a special film that allows a person to look at the sun. I was being careful, but news reports and my skeptical nature, I am doubting Thomas after all, had me nervous about looking at the sun. I made breakfast, washed dishes, and cut some grass. A few more chores later, and it was noon. The eclipse was supposed to have begun an hour earlier. The sky was the color of lead, but what the heck? I had prayed for a break in the clouds, and if it happened, I wanted to be prepared. I scanned the sky where the sun should be and waited with my binoculars and glasses at the ready. The eclipse was supposed to be at its maximum at 1:06 p.m. Almost on cue, the clouds parted. I put on the solar glasses, and there was the partial eclipse. I went down to the lake and out onto the dock to get away from the trees. From there, I switched back and forth between my binoculars and the Celestron solar glasses. The glasses cost $3, and they worked great. The binoculars were fitted with PVC plumbing fixtures, super glue, solar film, duct tape, and mailing tubes. They looked crazy, but worked well, allowing me to zoom in on the sun as it was being partially blocked by the moon. I could even see sunspots, but the binoculars were heavy, and eventually I spent more time just watching through the glasses. The moon moved from east to west across the face of the sun, leaving a small crescent at the top of the sun uncovered. This went on from 1 p.m. until about 2:30 when the moon slipped out of sight. It was cool and dimly lit during the near totality phase, but not dark. The wind was calm. Fish were grabbing bugs off the top of the water and loons started calling, more common in the evening hours. I can't say it was because of the eclipse, but it definitely caught my attention and I enjoyed it. I became totally engrossed, relaxed, and in the moment. This was so amazing. I made a vow then and there to see the next total eclipse coming in 2024. I alternated between watching the eclipse and looking around me, taking it all in. I thought of my parents and other people I know who are no longer with us. I said a few prayers. I was so glad to be right where I was. Very slowly, the sky brightened, and the moon made its westward journey away from the sun. And finally, the sun was unobstructed, and the great American eclipse of 2017 was over. So that was sent to us by Tom Salwasser. And then I'm going to put myself out and talk about my eclipse day. And a little shorter version, it's kind of like a poem, but it doesn't rhyme. So bear with me if you're someone who is expecting a rhyming poem. It's a little different. It's just called The Solar Eclipse. It's 6:30 a.m., the morning of the eclipse. Thick clouds above Lake Bemidji fill the sky, save for three slits, allowing light to pass through. And oh, what a light. Prismatic color rays reach down from the heavens, touching the waters. Every color of the rainbow, proud and glowing, tickling the soft undulations of the lake. I stop in my tracks and gaze at the vision, wondering if the proximity of the moon has something to do with the majesty of it all. A minute later, the cloud slits are gone. The holes in the sky are mended, and the prismatic rays are held above the clouds. I walk on home. Later in the morning at around 10:30, the sky is bright and it's beautiful. I'm surprised. We're digging in the junk drawers, trying to remember where we put our welding glasses. Found them. We're ready. We turn on the radio and listen to the waves of the eclipse experiences as the glory rolls across America. We watch the NASA feed. People are crying. They're confessing to shaking. They're yelling. They're cheering. They've been mooned, and they love it. Our time is coming in northern Minnesota. My daughter's rip-sticking around the house, smiling a grin that I've not seen before. We're excited, but we don't even know what we're excited about exactly. We pour two tall glasses of water in clear glasses and set them outside on the deck to absorb the eclipse energy as this magical planetary experience occurs. We realize, to our chagrin, the sky is filling with clouds. We can't see the sun, but we know where it is, and we keep checking the spot. People in Washington and Idaho continue celebrating in our speakers. We sit out on the deck, our welder's glass at the ready, excitement in the air. Knowing we probably won't see anything, we still sit in joy and take in the energy of the day. And we're feeling more than other days our connection to the galaxy. And then we look up, and what do we see? The clouds have parted right in front of the sun, and we see the eclipse for a moment. Horns are honking. People are hooting and howling. People are screaming in their backyards, yelling in the streets. It's amazing. Our hearts fill with joy, and we cannot help but laugh as our cells fill with this new sensation, a new emotion. Being part of an experience that knows no religion, no political bent, no belief system. This is universal joy. The solar system threaded a connection through this patchwork of a quilt that is our nation. And that threading tickled our bones. We sat outside long enough to know that the experience was over and then sighed in joy. Then we grabbed those tall glasses of eclipse-infused water and we gulped down every last drop, high-fiving at the end. Our bodies and souls were nourished and fed in a way we had never known before. And then life went on for the day, more joyful, more connected, and for some reason, more happy. At 8:30 that night, the sky filled with clouds again, save for a few holes in the heavens. And through those holes, just like at dawn earlier in the day, the light glowed, an iridescent, shining group of rays right down through the clouds to the ground, giving a last wink to us earthlings that the universe had done something profound, something beyond human measure had happened. And boy, did we feel it. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota. Thanks to Tom for sending along his story. And thanks to all of you for listening to a rough draft of something.